Robert Fisk is well known for his colorful style of journalism in which he seeks to give a voice to the peoples whose countries are at war.
An Iraqi friend of mine said to me, the American military are now in Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Turkey, Israel, Jordan, Egypt, Algeria, they're in Kuwait, Oman, Yemen, Bahrain, they're still in part of Saudi Arabia. Why are they there, Mr. Robert? And in Pakistan too? You can go further north, Greenland, Britain, Germany, Yugoslavia, Bosnia, of course, Greece. From the ice cap down to the borders of Somalia, there is now an American Iron Curtain. What's on the other side? China, Russia, India. What's it for? These are the questions that we as correspondents are not asking.
Since the days of Watergate burglary, when investigative reporting challenged the abuses of state power, and when the coverage of the Vietnam War shocked the nation, a complete turnaround has occurred in the mainstream media. Robert Fisk parodies American newspapers and their absolute faith in governmental sources.
The lead story says, in a battle of wits, Iraq's insurgency mastermind stays a step ahead of the United States. This is Zarqawi, who may or may not be alive. The story begins by Josh Meyer and Mark Mazzetti, Times staff writers, Washington. Bloody good place to report from Iraq from, as I'm sure you'll realize. The point of this story is the sourcing. Paragraph 2, U.S. officials said. Column 1 again, said one Justice Department counterterrorism official. Column 2, officials said, U.S. authorities say, U.S. officials said. We go to page A10, do not laugh, it gets better. Several U.S. officials said, American officials complained. Column 3, U.S. authorities believe. Jordanian officials say, a little bit of a variation there. Welcome to American journalism, ladies and gentlemen.
Accordingly, the reduction of news to the official version and the decline of professional journalism is facilitated by the American public's ignorance of world history.
When General Sir Angus Maud invaded Iraq in 1917, he issued a declaration. And in that document, Angus Maud says to the people of Baghdad, we come here not as conquerors, but as liberators, to free you from generations of tyranny. In 1920, an insurgency began against British rule. And in retaliation, the British lay siege with artillery to a city called Fallujah. And we demanded the handing over to us of a Shiite cleric called Badr, not Sadr. British military intelligence sent a telegram to the War Department saying that terrorists were crossing the Iraqi border from, yes, Syria. Lloyd George, who was British Prime Minister in 1920, said, if British troops are withdrawn from Iraq now, there will be... Spot on, that's what Lloyd George said, and you didn't know that. But we didn't carry that in our back pocket history book, did we?
So in such a confused world, what is the real role for a journalist?
I came to the conclusion after reading of the 80, 90 years of injustice that we Westerners have inflicted on the Middle East, how very restrained Muslims have been towards us. I used to think that our job as journalists was to be the first witness to history. But I had a long conversation with Amira Haas, that very fine Israeli correspondent on Haaretz newspaper. And she said, no, Robert, you're wrong. Our job is to monitor the centers of power, to challenge authority, whenever it wants to go to war, whenever it wants to kill people, and especially when it tells lies to do it.
For the WBI Sunday News, this is Fred Gwynne.